Can you hear me back there yet? If you can't hear me, move forward, okay? Because my voice, okay, because my voice is shot, and I'm praying that it makes it through the message. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I ask, Father, please, that you will do your work in our hearts and in our midst. And I pray, dear Holy Spirit, that we will just recognize you. And I pray that you will anoint your word, that you will just carry it. We know that your word tells us that it never goes out and comes back void. You always, by your word, fill a spot in people's hearts. And so I thank you for that. I pray that you'll do that clearly today as each of us are here. And I pray that you'll open up our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes and our spiritual heart, that we might not only hear what you want us to hear, that we not only receive what you want us to receive, but that you allow us to experience what you told us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The last message that I had spoken before last week, by the way, didn't William do a great job? If you were here last week, William did an awesome job presenting the message. And one of his first lines was, "It's a miracle that I'm standing here. Present God's word in English." And so I told him I was very, very proud of his faithfulness to the Lord. But before that week, I had last spoken to you about Joseph and his dreams and how God had led him to where he wanted him to be. And our dreams can lead us, or what God lays on our heart can lead us as well to where he wants us to be. But we have to have a desire from God, a desire to seek, to hear from the Holy Spirit in his direction. Amen? And call on our lives. But we need to put it into action. So we have to, he has a desire for us, a place that he wants to get us to in our walk with him. But more than our walk and our experience with Jesus and the wonder of the power of God that leads us beyond our own capabilities. And God wants us to experience that, but we have to have the desire to hear God and to seek God and to be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit on our hearts and on our lives. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." I have loved that verse, and the first time I've heard it, because God says, "I have great and mighty things for you that you don't even know about." And if I shared with you my testimony in my life, that was definitely true in my life. And I know he has that for your life as well. No matter what age you are, no matter what stage in life you are. Minnie Pearl, do you remember her? With the hat and the tag on the hat. They said, "When are you going to retire?" I said, "When the Lord calls me home." And so we need to remember that we're called to serve and to live for him till he calls us home. And he opens up those doors for us in ways that we can't imagine. But we have to ask ourselves this question. Do I desire to seek after and to know God's direction and purpose for my life? Do I desire to seek after and to know God's direction and purpose in my life? Is a question that each one of us needs to answer. Paul desired this in Philippians 3:12-14. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That is my heart's prayer, that before God takes me home, that I will have the assurance from the Holy Spirit that everything that God intended to do with my life, that he did. Whatever that high calling is that God wanted me to experience, that I will have. That whatever pinnacle of life that God wants me to experience in him, that I will have that. That I will know that at the end of the journey of my life, that I've not only followed the Lord, but that I've reached that high calling that he's placed on my life. And that's what I desire. And I pray that you desire that as well. But Paul had to put all of his energy into what he called a race. And so he was willing to run the race. We know that if we read Scripture, in order to run the race, that is the walk, that is the journey, that is the path, that is the purpose that God has for our lives, then we have to put all of our energy, in other words, all of our focus, all of our heart, all of our surrender, all that we are, into first and foremost loving Jesus. Scripture tells us that where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. And we need to make sure that Jesus is our treasure. And the only way we can do that is starting off by having a tender heart that says, I want to follow you, and maintaining that heart and responding in faith and obedience to him as he calls us to do. In 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27 says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats against the air, like a boxer in a boxer ring, practicing, you know, doing all this stuff, not hitting anything, doesn't really get him anywhere. And Paul says, I don't want to live my life like that. I want to know that what I'm putting my energy into really makes the difference. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. In order to run the race, we have to be willing to examine ourselves on a daily basis. We need to be willing to be so in tune with God and sensitive to the conviction of the Holy Spirit that when we do things that are not pleasing to God, that we confess them immediately. That if we recognize things in our life that are holding us back from following God to the fullness that he intends for us to do, then we have to be willing to confess that before the Lord. And of course, 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, what? To forgive us our sins. He's always there to do that for us. As I was saying, we're to run that race with a clear conscience, without that weight, until we get to the end of the race, and to be confident that we've run it well. In 2 Timothy 4:7-8, Paul writes, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I want to ask, is it exciting to you to know that God wants us to run the race? Is it exciting to you that God has a high calling on your life? Is it exciting for us to know that we can run a race, run the race of life, knowing that our life is not wasted on everything that God is not interested in, but that our life is fulfilled in doing everything that God is interested in our lives? Is it exciting to us to know that God will honor us in his presence before all heaven's angels, before all brothers and sisters in Christ one day, where he will place a crown on our head personally because we ran the race faithfully? I mean, that's exciting stuff. It truly, truly is. So here's two questions we need to ask ourselves. Do we desire to participate in this spiritual race? And you can mark if you want in your fill-in, yes or no, just to reiterate it. Number two, if you know that you are participating in that spiritual race, are your eyes fixed on God's clear direction for you to run it successfully? If you watch a track and meet race in the Olympics, you see those guys putting everything they can, and they're into that. What are those skaters that are so cool that run? You know, their focus is straight ahead with all that energy, but you don't see them being the ever-ready battery guy doing this. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we doing this even though we're trying to follow him? We need to be careful that the only way we can follow God is keeping our sights on him. So we need to run the race that God has called us to run, if we want to run that journey with the confidence that at the end we will have attained that high calling that he has called us to have. We have the opportunity, and get this, to be spectacularly successful. And you know, successful is cool in itself, but to be spectacularly successful. In other words, God wants to do things in your life that is far beyond your abilities, but far beyond your power, your intellect, your knowledge, your experience. God wants to put things in front of you and I that He says, this is what I want of you. And yes, I want you to say, I can't do it. But He doesn't want us to say, I won't do it. He wants us to say, I can't do it, but I will follow you and your power and your strength and your provision to enable me to do that. When we do the things that God calls us to do, and those far out, unexpected things, then we can experience and be successful in a spectacular spiritual life with God. That's what God wants for us. That's what He wants for us. And so we have that opportunity to be spectacularly successful with the lives He's given us. I find that extremely exciting. I mean, we have the choice. We can have the normal life, you know, I'm saying that relatively. This is to say a life without following God. And we can have a life and experience the wonder and power of God. I want that. And I hope that you do too. But unfortunately, as Christians, many set their goals too low. You ever hear that? They set their goals too low. This is where my limitations are. This is what I can and can't do. This is what I will and won't do. These are my parameters. But we have to be willing to let God set the parameters. Absolutely. We're not to set the parameters for ourselves, because if we do, then we are shortcoming the wonderful, powerful things that God wants to do in and through our lives. We are not letting, obviously, God set the goals. I've called you to be a teacher. We can, you know, a pastor can say, oh, a teacher, a preacher, a missionary. But what about the unusual ministries that are opportunities for you? What about the opportunities for you to experience the wonder of the Holy Spirit working through you to touch other people's lives as you take courage and step out and share your faith with others? There are so many things, so many things. We learn to be satisfied with what we've set before us, rather than being hungry for the things of God. For God has special things for us. Don't shortchange what God has for you by telling yourself, this is my line. This is the final place. Excuse me. Because only God can tell us where our line is, His line, His mark, His accomplishment. And if we tell ourselves where our line is, then we miss that mark. Years ago, at a convalescent home, there was a lady that I remember witnessing to in Tennessee. And she was, you know, involved. I was trying to encourage her. And I was trying to encourage her to get involved. And she said, you know what? I've done the work for years. I taught Sunday school. I did this, 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 and this. Now it's time for other people to do it. I've done my part. And she stopped. That she set that limit. She set that line. God may have had other things, I'm sure He did, for her to do through Him that would astonish her. And I think about Granny Mildred, who served the Lord here for many, many years. I think she stopped teaching Sunday school at 90. And so I praise God for that commitment. And she was faithful to that. We have to be willing to say, and Mildred is probably saying, hey, God still wants me to teach. I'm probably saying to herself, you know, I'm old. I let somebody else step in. But she didn't. She was responsive to what God wanted her to do. And you know what? That's a lasting impact on my life, and I believe on you too. Here's a quote. The problem is never with God. The obstacle is us. We're far too easily satisfied. We limit God in our lives. That's Richard Blackaby wrote that. And so we need to remember that our problem with not living that spectacular, spiritual, successful life in Christ is because we've set the boundaries. We've set those boundaries. We've become comfortable with our life the way it is. Instead of yielding ourselves as a living sacrifice and knowing the power of God working in our lives beyond our capabilities. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Who's that power? Jesus. And what's he want to do? He wants to work exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can even imagine for ourselves. I can't tell you the treasure of that promise of God's word. But you have to make a decision whether that's a treasure to you or if you place a limit on that. You know what I'm saying? Is your heart one that says, "Man, that excites my soul. That excites me. I am interested in that following of Jesus." And so we have to ask ourselves that question. So I want to ask you a question. Have you ever seen the amazing things that God has done in your life? I might say, "Well, I'm saved." That's amazing. It goes far beyond being saved. I want us to know that God, when we follow him, when we yield to the challenge he places in front of us that we know we can't do, and we let him do the work, then we step back and we go, "I can't believe that that happened, but it's amazing what God can do, the power of God in our lives." Things that have such a magnitude that you know it's the power and presence of God working in and through you. God wants us to experience his amazing power in our lives, but our lives suffer because we impose limits on God. Remember that. God wants us to reach the pinnacle of spiritual experience in our lives when we pursue this experience and stronger faith, new victories, and reach higher goals in our spiritual walk with God. I want that. I want to know that we've reached my life and your life to reach that high pinnacle that God has for us, that spiritual experience, that we would experience a stronger faith and new victories and higher levels of in our walk with Christ. Is that not part of the finding the treasures that God has for us in him? Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. As Christians, our greatest goal or focus in life is to guard against missing the mark of the high calling of God in our lives. If we're going to say, "Look, I'm a Christian, I want to follow God," the key too is that we don't set limits and we guard against those things that inhibit us from reaching toward the mark of the high calling that God has placed on your life and on my life. Because every one of us has that calling. Every single believer in Christ has that high calling and that amazing experience in Christ that he wants us to experience, in him, obviously, in him again. Our goal is to complete the race God sets before us and the pinnacle of his accomplishments in our lives. If God wants to work those amazing things in our life, to reach the high mark, to reach the pinnacle of his will for your life and my life, if God is doing that which he wants to do, how high is that pinnacle? Is it unlimited? Only if we limit it. But if we don't limit it, be ready for it. Because God will say, "Okay, you've said by faith you follow me. By faith you won't live for yourself. By faith you desire to pursue what I have for you in this life." Then be ready, because he will surprise you what he wants to do. To have this confidence that we're reaching toward that high mark, that high calling, not setting those limits, and letting God do what he wants to in our life, to have that confidence that that's where our focus and commitment is, brings what? Great joy. To have this confidence is to have absolute assurance that my life is being lived for God. To have this confidence allows us to enter into his presence boldly. That clear conscience, that joy in him, that fullness in him, that we can stand before our Heavenly Father and enter into that holy place through prayer and say, "God, I know that I can address you with a boldness because I know that my life and my heart is in line with you." To have this confidence, we must be willing to pay the price needed to live a qualitatively different life than most Christians. You hear that? To have this confidence, we must be willing to pay the price needed to live a qualitatively different life than most Christians. You see, many Christians miss the mark. Many Christians miss the high calling. Many Christians don't allow that treasure to be Jesus in their life. Though they count him as a treasure, he's not the treasure. He's not the center, the focus, the joy, the fullness of life. He's the side treasure. Something they have, but not something that they can't wait to continue to dive into and experience him in their lives. We need to understand what Philippians 1:21 says. Paul quoted, said this, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." If our heart truly says with a clear conscience before God, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain," then we can be assured that we're on that journey, on that road of that high calling that God has called for us. That we're on that destiny that we can run the race to receive that incorruptible crown that Christ places on our head personally and honors us before all the heavenly host, believers and angelic alike. And so we need to consider for a moment something else. We need to consider the church. We need to consider God's kingdom work. We need to consider the local assembly of believers in Christ. The power of God is not seen or acknowledged in many local churches today. Does that sound like a redundant statement? Is the power of God seen and working in most churches? When you drive through a neighborhood or you live in a neighborhood, do people in the neighborhood go, "Man, God is present there. God is working there. There's something special there spiritually that God is doing, and we can see it." You see, that's what God intends for every assembly of believers. But I believe that many times the churches set limits on God. The limits are, they begin with our own walk. God, I know you. I'm good enough with knowing you, and I know where I'm going. God, I desire to pursue this, but I won't go any further. It's up to us what we allow the limitations to be. Don't let them be our own, but let God bring us to a place where there's limitlessness or unlimited freedom in Christ. And so many local churches today are divided. You know why churches get divided? Because they're not keeping their eyes on God. Many churches are plateauing and even on a steady decline. Right? Why is that? Listen to this. It's not enough for people in the church to simply be believers in Christ, to experience the extraordinary and exponential power of God. We limit God's power in our own lives and in the local church by our established limitations. Those limitations can only be broken by pursuing the unlimited expectations of God. You know, if you look at our community and our country, what is the backbone of our country for stability? Families. Solid, healthy families. Because that affects our communities and our and on, right? If the same thing is true, not if, but the same thing is true within the church. If our hearts and our families are focused on God with a genuineness of love for him, then the overflow of that will be seen here in the body. And in the body, we're beginning to experience the things that God wants to do. That as individuals are praying and walking with God in their communication with one another, God might be saying the same thing that we begin to analyze. Wow, God said it to you. God has said this to you. God said this to you. There must be something to that. God is working something in our church family that he wants us to pay attention to. And all of a sudden we start looking at God and saying, "Okay, God, you're drawing us this way." And then when we seek him out, God tells us what he wants. And we go, "Wow, that's amazing." And we acknowledge we can't do it, but he can, but we're followed. You see, those are the limitless expectations. Those are the things that say, God, whatever. It's easy for us to say whatever you want, God, but it's not easy to do whatever he wants. It's easy to be comfortable and say, these are our limitations because we as a church or our individual lives are set this way. God does not want us to live that way in our own personal lives or as a church family. We can see this experience in previous centuries where God has worked through believers that did not limit themselves by their own limitations set, but by living the unlimitedness, guidance, and goals of God in their lives. Dwight L. Moody, who lived during the 1800s, was an uneducated layman, and his grammar was so poor, get this, that his fellow church members asked him to refrain from speaking at church meetings because it was painful to listen to. He even failed a simple test measuring rudimentary Bible knowledge. Despite his numerous and obvious limitations, he became the greatest evangelist of his day, encouraging thousands of people to serve in Christian ministry and missions. We need to remember, the greater the challenge, the greater the obstacle, the greater the impossibility by ourselves, is the greater the opportunity for God to reveal who he is in power through our lives or as a church for his glory. But it takes faith. We must be willing to follow what God leads, even if they're beyond our capabilities. Charles Spurgeon, who also lived during the 1800s, had no formal ministerial training, yet he became such a popular preacher in London that people had to obtain a ticket to gain access to a Sunday worship service. Tickets, standing on Washington Street, tickets to come on in. But there are more in recent years testimonies of God continuing to do his powerful work through his people. A blind pastor in Africa, get that, a blind pastor in Africa started a church, and despite his physical limitation, the church grew and flourished. A woman in the U.S. had a heart for orphans in Asia, and God used her to develop an extreme ministry to them. A retired businessman was reluctant to squander his leisure years, so he started two companies for the purpose of investing the profits into the kingdom of God. You see, God can use us whatever stage of life we're in. God can develop what he wants to develop. God can do the absolute amazing things in our lives that will bring honor and glory to him. So what sets these great people of the past and of today apart? One, they have a profound intimacy with God. How intimate are you with God? They have a profound intimacy with God. They experience God's power in their lives in biblical proportions, beyond their limits. Beyond their limits. Go anywhere in the scriptures where God displays his power through people who are faithful to him, and everything was beyond their abilities. They did not limit God, but they allowed God to do what he wanted to do through them. A retired businessman was reluctant to squander, as I said, his leisure years. God wants to use us no matter what phase in life we're at. Do not say to yourself, if you are a senior, God can't use me because I've already been spent. As long as God has you here, God can use you for a reason. Whatever significance you might or might not see it being, faithfulness to God, God will use for his glory. God is using them to accomplish far more for his kingdom than they could ever imagine. Is that the life to live in Christ? To know that God is using you in ways that you never could imagine. And they experience the joy of the Lord to an unusual degree. When we experience God and his power and his incredible work in our lives, the joy overflows because we're seeing God interested in us doing his work in ways that blow our socks off, if that's an idiom or not. But how wonderful of a life that is. We're to remember that God initiates a relationship with us, but we have to want an intimate relationship with him. And James 4:8, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. If we're serious about following him and experiencing the wonder and the power of God working in our lives, reaching the high calling of Christ on our lives, reaching that pinnacle of experience that God wants us to experience in him, then we have to say with our own heart, Lord, I want to, and I want to be sensitive to you. I want to be responsive to you. But part of that is making sure that our conscience is clear, that we've dealt with daily sin, that we repent of it, and we continue to move forward. God desires to do so much through our lives. And you know what the sad thing is? So many Christians don't experience that because their limitations have already been set. They've already been comfortable with what limitations they have in place. We have to desire to be as close to God as we can. We have to desire to listen to his direction. God speaks to us, but many Christians are not looking to hear what God wants to tell them. I often think the reason why many Christians don't hear is because they're afraid of what they're going to hear. So they choose not to listen. They choose not to look by faith. And Jeremiah 7:13, it says, and now because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke to you raising up early and speaking, but you did not hear, and I called you, but you did not answer. What a travesty. Isn't it? Have you ever heard people say, how do you hear God? Have you ever had people say, I'm amazed that you have such a relationship with God that you're in communion with him on a regular basis. You know when he's speaking to you. You know, obviously, when you're speaking with him, when you're having that conversation. But here it's making it clear. God has spoken to us. I believe that with all of my heart, that each one of us has had the time when God has spoken to us. But oftentimes we miss him speaking to us because we're not willing to be attuned to him. And we didn't hear. He says, I called you, but you did not answer. That's a sad situation. Draw near to God. To draw near to God, we must have faith. It's absolute. Faith in him, faith he's there, faith he speaks. Faith, he enables us to hear. Faith, he has a plan. Faith, he loves us, and so forth. Like the Roman centurion in the book of Matthew, who had his sick servant. He was a centurion. He was a captain over 100 people. And he was very compassionate, unlike most Roman soldiers. And he came to Jesus and said, I need you to heal my servant, but you don't have to come to my house. You don't have to make any special effort. I know that if you just speak the word, then you'll do it. I know as a commander, if I speak the word, it'll be done. And I know your authority. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel, amongst his chosen people. Wow. Wow. Such great faith in God. Faith, now listen to this, faith does not manipulate God's hand. But God responds to faith according to his will and purpose. God will not work in people's lives where there is no faith. We must have faith in God. We must seek for God to develop that faith. But faith comes through experience with God. Experience with God comes from a heart that's not limited ourselves, but is focused on God and is listening for him and is willing to follow him and is willing to rely on him and his ability and having confidence in him and not ourselves. In Matthew 13:58, it says, now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And Jesus reminds them in Mark 10:27, Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. God says, I want you to be a preacher. Instead of backing him and saying, I've got a speech impediment. I'm scared to death to be in front of people. I'm not a leader. I'm a follower. God says, I want you to be a preacher. The confidence to say, okay, but I rely on you and your power. The confidence to go on a mission field. The confidence to do a ministry. The confidence to respond to whatever he places in front of you that's beyond you is accomplished by being dependent on him. All things are possible with God. So now going back to the beginning of this message and revisiting our quote from Richard Blackaby, the problem is never with God. The obstacle is us. We're far too easily satisfied, content. We limit God in our lives. The choice is, do we want to limit God? Is our comfort more valuable than we as believers reaching the high calling of Jesus in our life? Have we been duped by the enemy to believe that? Ask yourself a question. Are you satisfied with your life? Are you limiting God? You can mark yes or no. If you have never asked Jesus in your heart, I want you to know Jesus is seeking a relationship with you. And he has a plan for you. If you're in here and you don't know Christ, God has a plan for you. And if you do know Jesus already, here I want to ask you the same thing. Are you satisfied with your life? Now, careful before you answer that. Don't say, yeah, I've got a great job, a great family, I got good income, I've got security. No. Are you satisfied with your spiritual walk with Jesus? That is being all that God wants you to have. He has a plan for you and wants to do mighty things with and through you. Listen. God wants to do mighty things through you. I don't want to miss out on that because it enables me and it enables you to know him more and to have the fullness of God working in and through our lives in ways that we never thought were imaginable. So call out to him and ask that he will remove the limits we place ourselves under. As a church, maybe we should say, God, whatever limits to say, oh, we're just a little church. Oh, we have such limited resources. Oh, we can't do that. Oh, we'll always be. And maybe we will. But I will not accept the fact that God doesn't have great plans to do through his church. God's done great things through little churches. Doesn't mean he's going to grow us into a huge church or a mega church. I'm not even interested in that. I'm interested in you and I experiencing the wonder of the magnitude of God's power working through us for his kingdom. The question is, do we want that? Or are we content with the limitations that say, we're in a little town, a little church, little money, little ability, little workers, meaning not many workers, what can we do? And we defeat ourselves by placing those limitations. And so, you have to ask the question. I have to ask the question. And be honest with yourselves. Have we set limitations on God in our life? Are we afraid to remove them? Don't be afraid. God loves each one of us with such love we cannot imagine. Everything he wants to do through us is because he loves us. Not to rob us, but because he loves us. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you, dear Holy Spirit, for your work. And I pray, Father, please, that we will listen to what you speak on our hearts through this message. That we really will examine ourselves and say, Lord, show me where I've placed the line of limit of following you. And give me the grace to remove that line, remove those limitations, to surrender myself to you. To say, Lord, whatever you want, to not be afraid because you love me. May we have those hearts. And may we walk in the fullness of the joy of the Lord for your glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, We would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.